You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
What it is, what's up, and welcome everyone to Faces and Feels, Anything Goes. That's right, it's the second episode in this series. I'm hanging out once again with my man, Alex Castillo from Vitals and Violets. How are you, my dude?
Good to be here again.
Excellent. Happy to hang out with you. It's bright and early on a Friday morning here. We're just laughing about our time differences because it's obviously evening where you are. So I was like, yeah, I'm just going to get this cup of coffee. And you're like, yeah, I might crack a beer. And I was like, yeah, we're living in two different worlds, right?
Right now. I can go for a 7 a.m. beer. So
I mean, some days I can if it's like the weekend, not a work day. Then yeah, sure.
Depends on what kind of work day I want to have.
Well, this is also valid.
Sometimes you got to roll the dice.
Absolutely. So if this is sounding different at all, I apologize to anybody, but all my stuff is still out from recording all the Dude Where's My Ring commentary last night. And I couldn't be bothered piling it all back into my desk. So I'm kind of on a couch and I've got a mic loose. So there might be a little bit of noise. But hey, the idea of the show is to be more laid back. But Alex and I wanted to catch up. We just watched the Tournament of Survival weekend last week. So it was Tournament of Survival 9 and then the Cage of Death event. And so, yeah, we just kind of wanted to break down Tournament of Survival a little bit, talk some shit, maybe talk some music we're into, whatever bullshit we're doing. So how were you feeling about the event, my man? Like, you have fun with TOS?
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was great. It was fun.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I have some issues with some of the booking, but hey, I'm not the booker, so what can I do?
Well, that's exactly right. It's also like there's been such good tournament and survivals in the past that it can sometimes be hard to compete with them. You know what I mean? Like my favorite is the Tournament of Survival 666. Is like my favorite one, and which, if I remember correctly, that's the final with Koga and Cologne, and that was just unbelievable. Like, it was so crazy, and so this was quite a good lineup here. And then there was some, you know, bits and pieces, you know, like a four way and stuff in there to build some time. So it kicked off with Yuki Ishikawa versing Ultra Mantis Black. Now, Ishikawa, I've seen live a few times when we've been in Japan, my wife and I. And I remember, I swear, I saw one of his like first death matches, hey, because the very first time I saw this dude, he was like not a scar to be had, looking like a little baby. You know what I mean? Like, and then the next, I swear, it seemed like this fast. Like, I saw him, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's his first cut of death match. He's getting into it nice and early. And then the next time I saw him, he was holding the championship belt, you know. Like, and I was like, oh, fuck, that escalated quickly.
I'm not super familiar with some of the Japanese talent unless they're like a real big name, because I don't really get a chance to watch too much of the product over there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, obviously the big names over there that have been over here before, I know. But he was awesome. I liked him a lot. Mm-hmm. I hope to see him more. Mm-hmm. So,
were you familiar with Ultra Mantis Black? I hadn't seen him before. I think he's like Chikara and stuff like that, but yeah. I thought his look was really cool.
I've seen him wrestle live once. I don't know too much about him. I know he's a big deal because, you know, when they announced him, I saw the internet blowing up about it. I wish I knew more because he's awesome. Mm-hmm. And I've seen him wrestle with the H2O Center once for some, I can't even remember what show it was, some random show, but he's cool. I like him.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool. He was giving me kind of like a, was it like, you know, like the Boogeyman, Dr. Voodoo, yeah, like sort of vibes about him. Was obviously in great shape and like they kicked off the night. They're throwing around some glass and stuff. It was really fun. Then after that, obviously Yuki gets the win. And then after that, it's, how do I say his name? Hideyoshi Kamitani versus Big F and Joe. Now, Kamitani I've also seen in Japan before as well. And I hadn't thought sort of too much of him then, you know what I mean? But throughout this tournament, he really sort of won me over, like, as it went. Like, how did you find him? Because he, you know, presents a little bit, you know, plainer, I guess, than somebody like Yuki, but he's a fucking good worker.
Yeah, I don't want to take anything away from him in that aspect, but I think I might be a little biased because I'm a huge Big F and Joe fan.
Yeah,
but
sure.
That match was weird to me. It seemed like a lot of spots seemed rushed and not planned out. I guess when there's a language barrier, it is kind of hard to.
I mean, there was a bit of that with Ultra Mantis as well, and so true. And so I think that can come down. I thought Joe in his match, they were better. Their chemistry seemed a bit harder. Better. Yeah, they went harder, absolutely. And I mean, Joe's pretty fucking experienced. And it's always great to see him do anything. Like, the crowd just eat him up. But yeah, with these initial kind of, you know, Japanese workers with Western workers kind of thing, you can see there was a little bit of clunkiness. And I'm sure that comes down to nerves of being on TOS, new country, screaming crowd, like just all of those kind of things, you know?
I think it was a personality clash too, where, you know, what's his name? Oh man, what's his name? I can't remember.
Sorry.
Japanese talent guy.
Kamatani.
He was very straightforward and Joe was a showman.
Yeah.
You know, he is very comical.
And that's what I thought about him too, because he doesn't really present like a gimmick or anything. He's just like a dude in jeans. You don't really have something immediately to grab onto. You know, you see Yuki and he's got, you know, the red shoes on and he's kind of got the cool shorts and he's got like a look to him, you know, and then Ultra Mantis is this supernatural looking figure and Joe's this magnet of charisma and fucking, you know, and loudness. And then, you know, Kamatani's a little bit more quiet, but you go on like throughout this tournament when he wrestles again, especially when him and Yuki get in the ring together, you really sort of see what he can do then, because obviously then he's in his element, you know.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, it was really good. I was actually, though I enjoyed him, I was really disappointed to not see Big F and Joe go deeper.
I had a little bit of an issue with some of the spots, like with some no selling. I saw a lot of people talking about that online too. I don't know. I don't feel like any of the giant structure should be no sold. I feel like they should be special, but
sure.
You know, right from the get go, I think there was like a massive like bundle of tubes that Joe bashed over him and he just stood there and was, I get it. It's a badass moment, but still like, that's a pretty big structure to just no sell.
Yeah. Yeah.
But whatever.
I did like that. It was like House of Horrors death match. I should have said that in the first one. The first one was a House of Horrors death match. Yeah. The second one was swinging for the fences. I always like these tournaments when they have themed matches, yeah?
And, me too.
And like I talk about Tournament of Survival 666, it was really like that. And the matches, even the stipulations were so different in that one. This one, there was still some of the same elements overlapped, you know? But I think the tournaments are the best when it's like, this match is only these things and that's all it can be, you know? And then by the time you get to the final match and then everything's involved, you know, it escalates as it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. That was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, Big F and Joe takes a loss, which I was spewing about, but Kamatani is going to do some good work later as we go. Next up, I got to say that I think Brandon Kirk was the MVP of this tournament for me. I thought he was awesome with everybody. And Shunma Katsumata from DDT, we've seen him a couple of times in DDT in Japan. And the most recent time, we went to this random DDT show. We didn't even know where the fucking venue was. Like, we lapped the building about three times. It was so low key. Literally, the only reason we found the venue is we saw fucking Yoshitatsu walk out the front. He was walking out for a smoke or something. I don't know what he was doing, but he was just walking around looking lost. And then we're like, maybe that's it. And then once we were in, not a sign outside, then once we were in the lobby of this like hotel type thing, then we started to see, you know, the DDT standees and stuff. But Shunma was on that and he had a death match on that show. And our friends that were with us were like, aren't really into the deathmatch stuff. And they're like, I thought we weren't watching this kind of stuff this time. We're like, what can we tell you? We didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
and he was great. And my friend Chris ended up buying his shirt. And then, yeah, I didn't know he was going to be in TOS. So it was really cool to see him and Brandon Kirk. And I think this may have been one of the best matches of the tournament. How did you feel about it?
That was probably my second favorite match of the tournament.
Yeah.
And it's only because Kirk and Murdoch in the second round was my favorite.
Yeah, sure.
But
they're great together.
Anything Kirk does, I'm a fan of.
He's just so fucking good. And he can get it out of anybody. Like, no matter who his opponent is, he always delivers, you know? Like,
I mean, he put on a banger with Microman the last time I was there with whatever those last shows were.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's just like a wrestler's wrestler, a trainer. Like, he's just gets it, you know? And I'd really love to see more from him. What do you think that Brandon Kirk needs to do to step into the next level? Because he always ends up plateauing no matter where he goes. I mean, don't get me wrong, he did, you know, get to the championship, and they had a great angle in ICW No Holds Barred, you know, with Cruel and with Casey and with him, and then him getting the title and all that kind of stuff. But even then, I feel like he hasn't even reached his peak, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like he ends up plateauing. So what would you like to see from him, do you think, or do you think the key ingredient would be for him to step to that next level?
I think what he's doing right now, just letting the crowd carry him, because he is just, the crowd is behind him. You could tell during that whole event. He needs to ride this momentum that he's got just from the fans being behind him, because it was incredible to see like the standing ovation like twice for Brandon Kirk in one event. Like,
yeah,
the man deserved it.
Absolutely.
And I think if he keeps going out there and putting on these types of matches, and maybe even getting him in a scramble or something like that, just to show off the fact that he doesn't need deathmatch, he can do anything.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
He's incredible at it. Yeah, he shouldn't have a problem getting a title. Yeah.
You know what I would like to see from him is,
yeah,
I'd like to see, because he can really talk as well, you know, yeah, I'd like to see a turn from him, because he's not really a face or a heel here, but like, he always is, you know, the rogue Brandon Kirk, but really what does that even mean? You know what I mean? Mm. I'd like to see like a bit of a gimmick focus. And I feel like if he had something, you know what I mean, just a bit of an edge and a new moniker and maybe, you know, slightly different gear and stuff like that, it could absolutely just jank him to that next level. Whereas, you know, like, it's fun to come out to Mariah Carey, and it's fun to do stuff with Casey, and I think the world of her, she knows that. I've had them both on my show. But if he was to do something just for himself, you know what I mean, and a bit of a thing, you could absolutely just see him turn that corner, you know, into the next thing and be the top guy in deathmatch, because he's easily one of the best, if not the best workers. But, I feel like he is a bit that kind of like straight-laced, like just Brandon Kirk thing, where it's like if he just had something – I don't know what that thing is. Only he would know what that thing is, you know, or find what that thing is. He could be something.
Well, that helped him really special. It helped him in ICW, because at first he was like the heel of ICW.
Yeah.
And then, you know, crowd started slowly turning to be in his favor. So
yeah, I did love that stuff like in ICW, because like the story they were always telling in ICW is that eventually the title corrupts, right? It was almost like anybody that got the title would then eventually turn evil, like every single person that held it. Like John Wayne Murdoch was at the top of that company for ages until he got the title. They invented the title. You know, he gets that and then he immediately starts to fucking go downhill, you know? And then like Casey gets it and she fucking overcomes everybody, but then she's immediately fucking – terrible. Like the second she's fucking the champion, she immediately starts to go downhill. And then Brandon's like, I need to take that title off you, even if I fucking have to beat up my own wife, because you can't be this person. And then he immediately fucking goes, you know what I mean? Like it's like power corrupts. And I love that kind of story in wrestling. But yeah, I think that little edge, I just want so much for him, and I just can't talk about how much I enjoy his matches, and I just think there's something else there for him. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, absolutely. And then after that, obviously, we had the Tour de Survival. But what did they call it? Oh, this one didn't have a stipulation. It was just a death match. The other one was a DDT death match, hence all the chickens. Wayne Murdoch versus a mystery opponent, which, if I remember correctly, Jimmy Lloyd comes out and says it's going to be him or something, and then Slade comes out? Was that the order?
Broski Jimmy,
yeah, exactly. Ridiculous.
Two different people.
Yeah, my apologies. Broski Jimmy comes out, the Prince of the Death match. but then Slade comes out. Great to see the return of Slade. Absolutely spewing. He didn't get past this round, though.
That man is a menace, man.
Yeah.
Everything about him I love.
I love him too. And he's been gone for so long. I just wanted him to mow straight through. Like, you know, John Wayne is a great wrestler, and obviously what happens in this tournament is going to happen. But, like, I just wanted Slade way deeper.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I get it, but...
Yeah, I mean, maybe he's I don't want to wrestle in three fucking death matches tonight. You know what I mean? Like that, yeah,
just destroy me in one and I'm good.
Yeah. But I mean, he didn't even get destroyed really, like, because he lost strong, you know, he got beaten, but he just walked out under his own steam. He didn't even look phased, like, from the thing.
Yeah, I don't know, his back was disgusting though.
Yeah, real.
Oh yeah. I mean, he took like so many tubes to the back at one point, like,
yeah,
back to back to back to back, and it was just like raw hamburger meat when he was walking out.
Jesus, yeah,
so gross.
It's brutal. He's an absolute beast, and I'm glad he's back, and want to definitely see more from him.
Yeah, I hope he's back. I hope it wasn't just a one-time thing. I'd love to see that dude more.
Yeah, exactly. He's a murderer. Hey, it's absolutely brutal. Now, I haven't been up on my GCW. I've sort of fell off for a while. And
right. So
then the four match happens, and it is four-way match. It's Cole Radrick versus Alec Price versus Jordan Oliver versus Marcus Mathers. Now, for me, two of these guys are like Alec Price, I think the world of. I think he's an unbelievably huge star. Marcus Mathers is going to be something amazing. But then the other two don't really hit for me. And I don't really like this garbage daddies kind of team here with Cole and Alec. What's going on there? You're up to date, right? You tell me what this friendship is.
I don't know. I like their chemistry in the ring when they're doing tag teams, but I don't understand the need to be a tag team.
No.
Maybe
they just want to do that. Maybe understand
I also don't understand why, like, that was a fatal four-way. Well, they could have just made it a tag team match, you know?
Yeah.
But,
exactly. Because
it was, for the most part, except for a few spots where they were all fighting. But for the most part, it was just tag team spots.
Yeah. Was it for that ring thing that Cole is carrying around? Like, I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think he won that, like, a while ago.
Yeah.
I don't watch every GCW show. I only kind of, like, really keep up with it on Twitter, unless I'm watching with some friends or unless it's a big event. So I don't watch everything, so I'm not super familiar with that, but I don't think he won it in that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't know. Anyway, that comes into play later in the weekend, but not as much as he would have liked. But Alec Price, man, his moveset is crazy. He's fucking something real, real special. Jordan Oliver's never really hit for me personally. Like, I don't really see it, and that may just be like mediocre excellence. Like, I use that term a bit, where it's like he's always good and he's always there and he's always consistent, but then there's never really been anything storyline-y or gimmicky or anything like that that's jumped out to me about him. And then Marcus Mathers, I could just see nothing but fucking bright lights for him. He's come so far and he's so young.
Yeah, that's my guy right there.
Yeah.
He's one of the few people in the business that I'm actually like, I consider a friend because,
sure,
you know, he's just my guy.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, didn't you guys do like a collaboration sticker or shirt or something like that?
Yeah.
With Finals of Violence?
I sponsored his second show, Marcus Mathers All I Want, and I wound up just making a random t-shirt design for the show.
Yeah,
and,
cool.
It was cool, yeah.
Exactly. I like the Vitals of Violence collab shirts that you've done. I've actually got the Reed Bentley one in the
room. Yeah, that was the first one. I want to do more, but They'll come. They'll come eventually.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just time and, you know, the right guys, because you want to team with the people that you, you know, you dig. And
yeah, there's also just so many, like, these little brands out there, and everybody's kind of attached themselves to others, and that's awesome. But
yeah.
I don't want to, like, you know, use this guy if he's got, you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. Don't want to step on anyone's toes or anything like that. Would be sick to see, like, you know, Vitals and Violence, you know, knee pad on a dude or something like that, you know, some kind of sponsor thing, but you just have to see.
Yeah.
See where it goes. And you also don't just want to be spending money just to spend money. Like, you know, like, it's got to be like a friend or a mutual sort of promotion thing or something like that.
Yeah, I like dealing with, like, the really small talent, like, you know, the guys that are just, like, there's H2O kids. They're all awesome. I'd like to work with anybody there.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We talked about on the last show, that's kind of your go-to promotion, right? It's nice and close to you, and you get in and
I wouldn't say nice and close, but it is the closest.
How long does it take you to drive out to H2O?
About 2.5 hours.
Oh, okay. Fuck, I didn't realize it was quite that bit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not crazy, but it is a bit of a trek if you're going to go out there after work or whatever.
Yeah, it feels like it's right around the corner at this point, I guess, so much, but it's not the best drive after the show in the middle of the night.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
So
you usually, like, go with someone, like, bring a friend or something?
Oh, yeah. I don't go by myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Just for the drive home, I don't trust that.
Yeah, exactly. You fall asleep at the wheel. I'm fucking terrible.
Yeah, I fall asleep anywhere. You know that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. that was well documented. So after the four-way happens, we jump into the second round. Made in Japan deathmatch. Yuki Ishikawa versus Hideyoshi Kamitani. I really enjoyed this. I think this really showcased, like, what both guys do. They're obviously in their element, familiar with each other. And I'm glad that I had thought, like, as it jumped in the second round, I'm like, oh, that's a shame that the two Japanese guys are versing each other. And, you know, they will have done that in other promotions and stuff before. And then John Wayne and Brandon Kirk are against each other. We've seen that before. But it really, in a way, was sort of smart booking, because you were guaranteed to get the best out of all four, because they are working with, you know, in the same languages and people they're familiar with. Don't you think? I was kind of like, oh, I'd love to see Brandon Kirk versus Ishikawa, or either guy really, but you're going to get the best out of them together and the best out of John Wayne and Brandon Kirk together.
Yeah. Me and my friend Justin, we were watching this together. I watched the rerun with him and we were saying the same thing. We were wondering why, oh man, the Japanese guys are over here. Why wouldn't they let the American guys get a chance, you know, to mix it up? And then we were like, well, why not let the American fan base over here that doesn't watch Japan get, like, a solid Japanese death match out of two stars from over there? And I think they did it right.
Absolutely. So. It's tough, right? And those are the kind of decisions, like, as a booker, you've got to make. You're like, do I go for the, like, never-before-seen matchup and hope they kill it? Or do I go with the little bit more proven thing that I know will absolutely deliver a better match, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think for second rounds, I think they went the right way.
And I think because both matches are so good, it's kind of proof of concept, you know?
That
absolutely worked.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But, yeah, really enjoyed that. If somebody was wanting to jump in this show and you didn't want to watch a ton of matches, you would just jump in here at the second round. You'd watch this Made in Japan death match, and then you would watch the Contraptions death match with John Wayne and Brandon Kirk, which was also great and a real good example of what they do really well.
Yeah, Brandon Kirk and John Wayne Murdoch was my favorite match of the whole event.
Yeah, and that crap was living and dying by both guys. Like, I quite a few times thought Brandon was going to pull it out.
Me too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. I was John Wayne has done so much that I was kind of spewing, because I was like, oh, I would have loved to see Brandon go further. But John Wayne's been in GCW for quite some time now. I don't think Brandon has been doing as much with them, so it kind of made sense that they were going to go with their guy, I guess.
True. I also don't understand Murdoch's, like, constant flipping between being some uber heel and then just being a face the next show over there. It's kind of strange.
That was the vibe that I wasn't really getting from him, because it's like he comes out, I'm like, okay, John Wayne Murdoch's a heel, but then you bring out, like, Jimmy, who's more of a heel, and you're like, okay, now we love fucking John Wayne. This is sick. And then Slade comes out, everybody loves Slade, and then like John Wayne's a heel again. And I'm like, what is he? Like yeah, exactly. Like, am I supposed to be happy he won Tournament of Survival, or am I supposed to be mad about it? That's the thing, because I'm happy he won it because I like him as a wrestler, but I'm like, in the storyline, I don't really know if he's a good guy or a bad guy. And I like.
Yeah, and the crowd went berserk when he won, and he was, you know, celebrating with the crowd afterwards like a face would, so.
Yeah, exactly. But then, like, the next
maybe
day.
Maybe for the tournament, they were just like, you know, faces and heels out the window. Yeah. We're just going to wrestle. I don't know.
But see, I don't like that. That's a pretty sort of indie-rific way of fucking dealing with it. And JCW can be a little bit guilty of just going, it doesn't really matter. Just make it work. Nobody cares on the day. And they did that heaps on the Cage show, where they're just like, fuck it. Like, you know what I mean? And it all happens, and then you're in the building and you're drinking a beer and you don't give a fuck and you're happy to see people and whatever. But I'm like, I like the rules, man. Like, I like it to make sense, and I like the logic to progress. And if you cut those corners, it's like, it's fine. Yeah, it's only wrestling. But if you say, yeah, it's only wrestling about everything, then fuck everything is how I feel about it. I feel like there has to be a framework. Like, because if you don't, if I'm going to suspend my disbelief and enter this world where everything is real, then I feel like the rules have to be real too. Otherwise, then the fucking walls start to come down and the fucking paper house falls to pieces. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. I think GCW is really leaning on the, just putting on a fun show and not, it's, they care about story so much on one end, and then on the other end, they just don't care. And at some point you're like, I don't know what's going on anymore.
Yeah. And it's like fucking, I don't think the answer to a pothole or when you're in a spot is hit Nick Gage's music. Like, I don't think that is a story beat, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, who gives a fuck? It's Nick Gage. And I'm like, yeah, that is fucking cool. I'm stoked to see him. But you know what would be better? If it was Nick Gage making sense in the storyline or exploiting a rule or do it, not just like he gets to do it because he is Nick Gage. Anyway, we're talking about the next show. So then we jump to the final death match, John Wayne Murdoch defeating Yuki Ishikawa to become the Tournament of Survival 9 winner.
Can I bring up one thing first?
Please.
That we just skipped over.
Oh, yeah, sure. What did we miss?
Tremont and Abdullah the Butcher. Their little segment. Did you see that?
No, I skipped it myself because at that point I'm like near exhaustion and I've got a wife with me and I'm like, I'm just going to watch the next match. So I have actually been planning to go back. Is it worth watching? What goes on? What happens?
I wouldn't say it's worth watching. It's a little strange, but there's one point where Abdullah the Butcher tells Tremont that he is the new black Abdullah the Butcher.
What?
And that's exactly. He just goes, you're the new black Abdullah the Butcher. And everyone was just kind of like, cool, and no one really said anything about it. And I'm sitting at home going, what did he just say?
What? Tremont said that to Abdullah?
Abdullah the Butcher
said that to Tremont.
Abdullah the Butcher said that to Tremont.
Like, you're the new Abdullah the Butcher, but added the word black in there for some reason.
Yes.
Was Abdullah the Butcher known as Black Abdullah the Butcher?
What was that?
Was Abdullah the Butcher known as Black Abdullah the Butcher? Is that his full title?
No, I don't think so. I don't know what he was going for. It was just so random, but it made me laugh, and I can't stop thinking about it sometimes. It plays in my head.
I just I wake up in the middle of the night with question marks, like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I can't wait to see Tremont at H2O next so I can be like, what? You're it, man. You're the new Black Abdullah the Butcher. You got to live up to it.
Yeah, that's weird. But, you know, some of these guys, they've taken a few too many chair shots and things like that.
Yeah.
They say things, taking a few too many substances in their younger days and synapses are fried.
Yeah, it was a moment for sure.
Yeah. Good to just anyway. Be, you know, sometimes, you know, you're in public and you fucking drop in a word into a sentence that doesn't make sense. And you're like, what did I just fucking say? Like,
at plenty of times.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, what did you think of the final though? I do think we always have to have a scaffold in the final
yeah, right.
tradition and all climb up it just for fun. Like, I'm just, we're both going up this? Cool. Like, is it a little bit lazy for me? I think the only time I've enjoyed a scaffold in a match that sort of made sense for me was, did you see, I did an episode about it back in the day, but did you see Tremont's last match against Ricky Shane Page at H2O? Yep, exactly. And that was, I did a mini episode about that back when it happened called Thank You, Tremont. And at the time, you know, we thought that was going to be his last match, and it's a match, and it's a, you know, it's about Danny Havoc, and it's about their friendship and stuff. And there's a point where Tremont does climb a scaffold, but then he gets there and he's like, come on, you motherfucker. Like, is essentially daring him to come and face him in this more dangerous environment. Like, he's goading him up, you know? And then he's like, oh, fuck. And then he climbs up, and then, you know, what happens, happens. When both guys just sort of like casually climb up it, like at the same time, we're just in agreement, we're going to go do this. That always bugs me. I'm like,
yeah, and that happens most of the time.
Yeah, like we need to be forced, or there needs to be an interaction, not just like, oh, we're doing this spot. Cool, let's go. Like, that seems a bit lazy for me.
Yeah, there's always like one dude that climbs up and the other guy looks up and goes, well, now I got to go up there. We're like, why?
Yeah. Just don't. Just be like, you come down here, motherfucker.
I want one dude to just be like, no, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Come down.
Or I want like one guy that's below just start pegging chairs up at him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know? And then get angry, like, get down. And he's like, no, motherfucker. And he's like throwing shit at him. He goes, fine.
Or shake the scaffold, shake him off.
Yeah. And then he can't get him down. Yeah. And then he's frustrated. So then he climbs it. Like, give me a reason that you both end up there. Not just like, we got to go do this, lads. Okay, cool. Like, that always bugs me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Exactly. I try not to let stuff like that bother me because it happens all the time, but it is true.
I know. I mean, again, it's wrestling. I mean, normally I'm only on the, at the time, I'm just like, whatever. But then in this kind of forum where we're going to break it down and kind of talk about it a little bit, I'm going to air the grievance. Like, just go, these are the nitpicking things. And I will say that the vast majority of stuff that happened in this tournament I really enjoyed. It's just easier to kind of nitpick the things that bug you opposed to like all the great spots and fun things. And the vibe of these shows just looks crazy. And I'm sure once I'm 5 beers deep and I've been there all day, I don't give a fuck. Like, I just want to see something crazy happen, you know?
Yeah. The atmosphere at the Showboat is awesome. I love being there. I wish I could have been there for that. Yep. It looks so much fun. I do miss the carousel room, but that new little room is cool too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's not little. That thing is huge. That's a huge
room. It seems really. I do like the aesthetic of the new room. Like, it just looks like a big open warehouse kind of thing. But yeah, I miss the carousel room too. It just had such a vibe to it.
Yeah, like as soon as the camera turned on, you were just like, oh, that place.
Yeah, exactly. It has that look about it.
It's a mini golf course now.
Oh, is it? Well, when they're not running there, it's just a mini golf.
They just took the wall down so you can see like inside the carousel room straight from like the pathway in the hotel, the Showboat.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a big mini golf and like roller skating rink in there now. So they're kind of turning the building into a big, like family friendly place. Cause they don't have gambling in there in that one place. So they're just turning it into like a kid friendly, family friendly place. It's pretty cool.
Right. Where anybody,
I'm not a big gambler. So I think it's fun. Big ass arcade and whatnot.
Me neither. Like, we went to Vegas when I got married, and I didn't fucking gamble in one place. It was like, you went to Las Vegas and didn't gamble? I'm like, dude, I always lose at those things. I'd rather spend my money on another drink and go to a thing or whatever. Like, I'm not really interested.
I went to Vegas one time, and I gambled in one place and wound up winning almost $2,000 off of 20.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Yeah. I did it just to say I gambled in Vegas, and when I hit, I was like, wow. And I just took it all out and funded my whole trip. So that was cool.
That's
so back in 2017, I think. That was awesome.
That's crazy. Yeah. What game were you playing?
It's just a slot.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I don't know how to gamble on the card game. So I just put 20 in a slot, hit the max bet. Boom. It was there.
Just like cash straight out, away.
I'm good. Yeah.
That's crazy.
It was in the pyramid looking hotel that we were in because all my friends wanted to go see a Chris Angel stuff, and I was like, nah, I'm good.
I will be fine, sir.
Yeah.
I actually did go and see Chris Angel, and he was fucking sick. I got to tell you, he had like a live guitarist and bassist and shit, like up on these big plinths and dancers. At one point, he like disappeared and then dropped from directly above us and landed like this close to my wife's head, like whoosh, like straight into the thing. He was so dope, man. It was really fun. We were like, if we're going to Vegas, like, because it was StarCast time and things like that, there was heaps of panels. You know, we went and saw Taz and Bret Hart and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And then we were like, we got to see all the fucking, you know, the stereotypical Vegas stuff. We've got to a helicopter into a canyon. We've got to go see Chris Angel. We've got to go to Cirque du Soleil and all that stuff. And we did. And it was all amazing. Like,
yeah, it sounds awesome.
Yeah, we were it was just us, and then we were like, if we're having a wicked time, we'll get married. And so it was like essentially like a week of like just me and my wife on a, you know, Bucks Heads, just us, and then fucking our wedding. It was sick. It was really, really fun. We even went to that, you know, Zach, what's his name? Zach Baggins, like haunted demon museum or whatever, you know, the ghost hunters guy. Yeah. And that was,
I didn't know about that.
That was some fucking haunted shit, eh? Like, I'll tell you right now, I was like, they're demon in that box. There he is. I like, no, it's true. And fucking Post Malone fucked around with that, the particular box. You can read this new article. He like touched it or opened it or something like that. And then straight up his plane crashed like fucking after that.
Oh,
when he was in that plane accident, it was after he fucked around with that demon box. So I'm just saying.
That's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if I believe in any of this shit, but I think it's fun to fuck about with it.
Yeah.
But don't fuck about with it. Just look at it. Don't. And there's one point where you go through like this maze and it's all these like clowns, just a dark room, just nothing but clowns and laughing, like clown dolls and mannequins and shit like that. But then there's also some in there that just move, like there's like midget clowns and shit like that that are obviously paid actors that are just amidst the clowns, and they're like not doing heaps, just enough to be like, did that fucking move? Like, it was fucked.
I don't know if I'd like that.
No, I didn't like it.
But I think that's the whole point. But
I like going to scary places. I've got to show you this. We went to this place in Japan last time that was straight up the most fucking hectic thing I've ever gone through. Just, it's like a walkthrough museum with all these fucked mannequins and, you know, weird show floats and, you know, old teddy bears and dolls and crazy stuff. So crazy. And the lady, like, let us in. She took our money. We never saw her again. We never saw another staff member again. We were just, like, alone in this fucking place. And then when we left, we had to wait for the bus just on the highway. And fucking I looked down the hill and there's just straight up, like, a TV on the ground, like in the forest, like half buried in the ground, like it's straight up from the ring. Like, and I almost took a photo of it and then I'm like, you know what? I don't need that juju in my phone.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to fucking know about it. You know what I'm saying?
That's great.
Yeah, it wasn't it. Let's just quickly, I don't think we need to break down all of the Cage show because it's, you know, just lots of fun matches and stuff. How did you just feel about sort of the two main events? So the Cage with Effie and Mansa, and then obviously the end title gauntlet leading into all the fuckery at the end.
Dude, Effie and Mansa was awesome.
Yeah, it was really
good. Some of the spots that they did in that, I was like, there's no way. Like the spot where they were up on the turnbuckle, Mansa was, and Effie just runs and jumps and they go through the cage onto that barbed wire, like construction thing. I thought Effie was injured for sure.
Yeah.
But he wasn't, thank God.
Looked hectic.
But it looked so nasty.
Yeah. I liked the, how the front of the cage was down, you know, like, I thought that was like pretty cool.
It was cool for the camera work. For
sure. Exactly. Cause when unless you're going to paint the cage black, which makes it disappear on camera, it fucking, it can be really hard to like see clearly, you know?
Yeah, that was a big issue that I used to have back when they started doing like the Art of War games.
Yeah.
You could barely see some of the spots because they didn't really cut any holes in this cage for the cameras to stick through.
Yeah.
But yeah, when they just put one section down and the cameras can film from there, it's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
exactly. Yeah. And it's still something that the wrestlers can interact with and all that kind of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was good. I did get sort of, I guess, bored of all the Effie Mansa clips that were constantly playing during TOS.
Yeah.
Like, I get it, and it's cool. They told a long rivalry for a long time.
And they went at it, too.
Yeah, exactly. But it was just like every time it was down, it was back to that again. And I'm like, I get it. Yeah. It was selling tickets for a thing, but I'm like, show me something else. That said, though, I do think it was better than, like, when they just put up a graphic and just play merch ads for, like,
yes,
you know, 10 minutes. So at least it was something to interact with. I will say that.
I agree.
But yeah, that was dope. And then we get to that gauntlet match, which is, you know, a bunch of fun, different, you know, wrestlers coming through, different things. And the whole story of the show is that, Joey Janela had got taken to the hospital, and is he going to be in the match? Is he not going to be in the match? And what is going to happen? He doesn't appear in time to thing. And they're like, oh yeah, we're going to put Jimmy in, right? Like, that was the thing. Like, we're going to put in, again, for the second time in the weekend, Jimmy's going to get, like, an opportunity because he's Cardona's boy. Then, like I said, hit Nick Gage's music. He's going to come out and he's going to take Janela's spot. Okay, he's not Janela, but let's let this go. He then pulls out the win and everyone's like, new champion. But then he's attacked. And then they restart the match again. This is a lot to remember. They then restart the match again for no reason, I guess because Cardona's there. Then Jimmy wins, I think.
Yeah, what? Yeah, Jimmy. Now I'm blanking on it. I know a bunch of crazy stuff happened, but I don't remember the exact.
But then stuff. I think that Jimmy wins it because it's like a restart, and then Jimmy's like the champion. But then Joey comes. And so then they restart the original match. Like, they're like, oh, well, he was actually the one, not Nick Gage. So then they restart that. Then he wins. Then Cole comes to cash in, but then he gets knocked out. But then Mansa appears, and I guess Mansa's got, like, another cash-in thing. Like, I thought, oh, for sure, because Cole dropped it, Mansa's going to, like, grab his ring, cash it in on himself, and, like, use it. This may be me not understanding the mechanics of how these various things in GCW work. But I thought, like if somebody gets the briefcase in WWE, I'm pretty sure it's even happened before, like the Money in the Bank thing, they could just cash it in, right? Like, so I thought, oh, he's going to get a cash in. But then he had his own cash in thing that he'd won at some point at some time that he then cashed in. And then he cashes in on Joey. That's right. Yeah. And then Joey won it. Then he cashes in on Joey, and then he beats him. And then Mansa is the new world champion now. That's right. I think I got it all right.
I believe so.
Total clusterfuck. There was a lot happening. I think it ended up with the right outcome. Like, I think Mansa being the champion is really cool, and I'm glad that we got there. I think that's really cool. I think it was a little bit sort of overbooked, but again, if I'm five beers deep in the fucking Showboat, I don't give a fuck. I'm stoked to see Nick Gage. I'm stoked to see Joey Janela. I'm having a good time with it.
I say overbooked in the best way possible. I love stuff like that. I love when things just keep happening. You're just like, what is going to happen next? Like, yeah, I loved it. I thought it was awesome.
Exactly. Well, I mean, it was definitely fun, but the little logic things at the side, I'm like, okay, so Joey was supposed to come. Nick Gage, I guess he's Nick Gage. He just gets, and they're like, okay, well, he's going to take the spot. But then when Joey does come, that they go, oh, well, let's restart that match from where he was going to be in doesn't really make sense. You know what I mean? It kind of throws your refs under the bus.
And I felt bad because when Gage came out and won, I mean, I love Nick Gage, but when he won it, I was like, another Nick Gage title
run? I mean, I would be so, I could never have too many Nick Gage title runs. Like, he's looking better now. Like, I would say.
True.
The last time I saw him, he was looking real rough. And he was looking explosive. He's looking fitter again. Like, I think he's back on track. And I really like to see it because, let's face it, the entire company's built around that dude. Like,
yeah,
when he's not running, when he's not working and doing his best work, then GCW is a little flat. But when he's fucking carrying it, it's really good.
True. I would have by no means been upset that he kept it, but I just wanted something new, and we got that with the Mance thing.
Yeah, so. Exactly right. And yeah. I think where Mance is at now, I think he's by far the most well-developed and the most interesting character in that Fed right now. Like, I'm so happy to see him. I love Heel Mance. I think he's so good.
And he can do any type of wrestling, and he can talk. Mm-hmm. So he's great.
Absolutely. I think it's well and truly overdue for him, to be honest. So, I'm looking forward to seeing what's next. And by the end, I mean, I was well and truly into it and interested to see what's next, like the next big event, and see. I imagine he'll probably end up, like, defending against Effie at some point, which is really cool. Effie's another person that, like, you know, you can see in that title picture. I think for so long, because, you know, Nick Gage held the belt for, like, so long, and then Ricky had it for so long. You know, there was so much of that 404 stuff. 440, whatever, 440. It's been so long, I don't even know how to say it. But there was that was such a hot rivalry, and it was going on for so long that the belt was tied up in that. That guys like Mancer and Effie and stuff like that couldn't even get a look in at it. You know, they had no opportunity to be in that world picture. And so now that is sort of freed up, it's going to be cool to see what they can do at the top of the card, doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they're gonna go at it again.
Yeah.
So
yeah, absolutely. Now that's cool. That's cool, man. Well, as we're wrapping up now, we were always throwing around music and stuff. I was telling you the other day that we just got tickets to go see Throne, which I'm really fucking pumped for. Their new album is dropping like very soon, right?
I know they only had some singles, and
yeah,
I can't remember the name of the one that starts with, like, I don't know, it's got a little bit of a hip hop feel to the very beginning.
Yeah, it I love is. That song. I'll tell you, it is. So if anybody doesn't know, Throne, Thrown, On the Verge, I think, is that song. Excessive Guilt is the album. It comes out August 30th on, got Spotify now, and 1, 2, 3, 4, like 5 of the tracks you can access. But yeah, the full album is still yet to come out. There's still another 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, another 6 songs to come out. But yeah, it's sick. I just am like, as a, you know, a nu metal kid and stuff like that, I just love that a lot of these hardcore bands are just now like playing Korn riffs and like everybody loves it, you know, like it's so dope.
I don't know if you got a chance to check out that Tala that I sent you.
I did. Yeah, I really like that. I like messy sort of stuff like that too.
I like them, and there's this band out there called Dealer. They're sick also.
Dealer.
They're great. And for the past few days, I don't know why, but I've been going back and listening to a lot of like old Avenged Sevenfold.
Oh, really?
Like their first like 3 albums. I don't know. Like, I listen to them in high school. Sometimes I just like to go back and listen to something that reminds me of high school days, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
And I remember like I'm just listening to like the City of Evil album and then their self-made album. And I'm like, man, these are some catchy songs. I kind of forgot.
When I first heard them, I was like, this is everything I've ever wanted in a band. Like when I first heard them, I was like, this is like hair metal and hardcore and thing all at once. Like I really enjoyed it. And I've always loved it. A mix of styles that doesn't really get done enough. There was a band here in Australia from Adelaide called Wendy Icon back in the day. We did a few shows with them, and they were like a hardcore band but with a hair metal singer, like a fucking tie singer, and they were so good. Like I used to fucking love playing with those dudes and catching them. I wonder if you can catch them on Spotify. I wonder if their tracks are there. I used to love them.
Interesting.
I don't know if it holds up in the year of our Lord 2024, but like, I mean, the recordings, but I used to really enjoy them. Hang on, I'm going to have a look. Wendy Icon. Let's have a look. Wendy Icon artist. Okay.
Ooh. What is it about Australian metalcore that just hits different? I don't know. Like,
I don't know. I mean,
you notice that now?
I mean, we had like a real strong scene, you know, especially out of like South Australia and things like that, like bands like Parkway Drive and I Killed the Prom Queen and stuff. They had like a really hot scene going for a while. And then Perth music, we've always had cool stuff here because there's nothing else to do. Like, and because it is such a small scene, you really have to like sink or swim. And because Australian culture is so fucking tall poppy syndrome, cut everybody down that isn't fucking doing anything good, you really got to have your shit together because it just doesn't fly. And so I think that breeds good bands because, like, shit bands can't exist. Like, you know,
yeah.
Because everyone's like, those guys are fucking shit, and they'll tell you to your face. So, you know, you don't really have the opportunity. But we used to have some killer bands here in Perth, From the Ruins, fucking Miles Away. Speaking of Miles Away, so in Perth City there was an old food court forever. It's underground in the Perth City in the main mall called Carillion Arcade. You'd go down and it'd have, like, you know, Chinese restaurants and, you know, Burger King, well, it's called Hungry Jack's here, you know, Red Rooster, like all these, just like, you know, it's where you go and there's tables and you eat food or whatever and then go on shopping. Well, that's been closed down for a while, but Miles Away are running a show there tonight. We've got tickets, like, in this basement unused food court. They're running a gig. It's going to be fucking sick. Yeah, it's going to be really fun. Yeah. It was like,
nice. It
sold out like immediately. Luckily we got tickets and it's going to be, yeah, super fun to go down and see that. If you've never heard Miles Away before, they're really popular, like, hardcore band.
Okay.
I have Wendy Icon here. I wonder if I can fucking play it for you. Hang on. Let's check something out real quick. Let's see.
No, just quick comment. I remember, like, back in the day, like, getting all my music from the Pirate Bay, just downloading it from torrents. And there was this one dude I used to follow all the time that would upload stuff.
Yeah.
And he would put all the good info about all the bands in there. And I always remember every time it said, like, origin or location, Australia, I was like, this is about the rule. Like, every time. I always did. Like, from, I think the first band I remember ever experiencing that was with, I think it was, like, Ocean's 8 Alaska.
Yeah.
And this is back when, like, metalcore was in its, like, Asking Alexandria days.
Yeah, sure.
And then that band came along and they were just, like, twice as heavy. They were saying really, really nasty, vulgar stuff.
Yeah.
Like, all their shirts had stuff on it that, like, you couldn't wear around your family. I don't know why anyone would buy them. But, like, just cancelable stuff just right on the front of a t-shirt for no reason. I loved it. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I have a special place in my heart for Australian metalcore.
Yeah, exactly. No, it was cool. It was really, really fun to, like, be a part of those scenes and do that stuff. Now that my my wrist is able to rotate a bit more, I've actually got to start fucking, you know, playing my bass again to be ready for our show in October. All right, hang on.
Yeah.
This is going to let me play something on YouTube. Here we go. Have a rip it. See, that's it. You get a taste of that. I didn't actually know when I tabbed off it would stop playing, but you get an idea. That's like Motley Crue meets, like, hardcore. Could you hear it on your end?
Nope.
Oh, that's a real fucking shame for you, but the listeners loved it.
I didn't even know you were listening. Then you started talking about it, and I was like, oh.
Yeah. Well, I'm surprised you can't hear that. But anyway, I don't know the logic of how my setup works.
Send it to me.
Yeah, exactly. But I will send you the link. But, yeah, it's kind of like a fucking more jacked up Motley Crue
nice.
Kind of thing. So, yeah, that's dope. Well, anyway, I need to go. I need to go and go to work. We're out here doing the grind. So, dude, I want to thank you for your time. It's been fun talking some GC dub. And then we'll be meeting up again in a week or so to talk about whatever else is going on in wrestling.
Sounds good to me.
Have you watched the Despy Invitational, would you?
No.
Okay. This is because you don't watch New Japan. Well, El Desperado from New Japan won the Best of the Super Juniors, and then the next day he put on his own super show at Corricon Hall where it was just made up of people from all various feds that he loves. And so it's just like an absolute masterclass in him just booking all the shit he loves in, like, Japanese independent wrestling. And I'm not going to tell you any more because there's death matches and stuff on there. I don't want to tell you who's on the card because it's a Mystery Vortex card. I'm going to send you a link after this. Maybe that's the next thing we talk about. I think you'll really enjoy it.
Yeah, do that. It might be the same thing show my friend just sent me. He's real big into New Japan. He's always sending me stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I haven't got a chance to look at the link he sent me, so it could be the same thing, but I'll definitely watch it.
Yeah, hot. Well, I'll send you two links then. I'll send you a link to that and a link to the Despy show. So, yeah, cool. Everybody out there, thanks for listening. Make sure you follow Alex online. Whereabouts?
Legalized Ranch with two H's on Twitter, or you can just add me on Facebook. I'm Alex Castillo. Or it'd be really awesome if you followed Vinyls and Violence on Instagram.
There you go.
I would like to start doing cool stuff on there again.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Get to it. Absolutely. He's going to put in the work. If you've got any requests for him, you know, mash up shirts with wrestlers and stuff that you want to see, let him know. Maybe we can make it happen. So that would be hot.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
All right. No worries. So everybody out there, rate and subscribe, listen or die. Check out at Faces Feels Cast. Listen after this bit of music for all my listen and links. And remember, it's all about peace, love, and pro wrestling. Thanks for listening. Faces and Feels is a proud member of the Countout Podcasting Network. It is created and hosted by me, Rafe Houston, edited by myself and the amazing Ryan Neitzy, and the show is available on all good podcast platforms, so please go rate and subscribe. You can follow the show everywhere on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, etc. at Faces Feels Cast, and you can check out the Countout Network and all our sister shows over there at Countout Pod. If you'd like to book me for commentary, have an interview request, a topic suggestion, or you just want to say hi, you can email us at facesandfeels@gmail.com. With all that said, thanks for listening, and please support our friends and sponsors. Peace.
My body is a roadmap of pain.
DeathmatchWorldwide.com, the official online merchandise store that is only for Deathmatch Wrestling. Featuring official t-shirts from No Peace Underground, John Wayne Murdoch, Akira, Madman Pondo, Zona 23, Neil Diamond Cutter, G Raver, Schlack, Necro Butcher, and many more. If you are a deathmatch wrestler, promotion, manager, or platform, and are interested in joining the web store, send us an email to deathmatchworldwide@yahoo.com. Deathmatchworldwide.com for the final view.
This has been a Countout Podcast.
Ring Post Radio is the only show hosted by Ryan Neitzy and Scotty Edwards that talks about the entire world of professional wrestling. With new episodes coming out every Sunday, there is absolutely no reason to not listen to real, honest wrestling opinions from two crazy maniacs. Have a hot boy summer and listen along to Ring Post Radio every Sunday on the Countout Network.